Praise your name, Father. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
How many of you have seen the Lord answer prayer for your life this week? Just this week. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sister Vinnie, we know. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's that? You couldn't see me last week. Praise God. Hallelujah. I see you got a blue shirt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Vinnie did not have a stroke. Praise God. That's good. And something to do with her sugar. But she's here tonight. And whatever it was, it's gone. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give Him all the praise. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. You are the healer, Jesus. You are the healer. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ralph was sharing with me of a miracle took place in his life last week or three Wednesdays ago. We prayed for you, and the Lord instantly healed you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you want to share any of that or not. Or no, I can't do it. You know, we were talking Friday night about how important it is for us to rehearse all these wonderful things, so I just believe God gets all the glory. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah.
I honestly can't remember when it started, but sometime earlier, months ago, attack come against my memory, my mind. I was getting up, leaving the house, forgetting why. Get in my truck, drive down the road, go somewhere and wonder where I'm going. Leave food out, leave the oven on. You know what I'm saying? Just, I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember a service 30 seconds after it was spoken. And it was had really gotten to the point where it was a spirit of fear trying to ride in on it. So three Wednesday nights ago, I come up, pastor laid hands on me, and not 1 second since that moment have I had any attack against my memory.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I remember hearing Gary Carpenter talk about the attack that he had on his memory and then how he had to stand against it. Don't start saying, oh, that's age. Don't you do that. Mm-mm-mm. Don't start accepting that stuff. No, 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 no. How old is old to you? It better be old, old. Don't start that stuff. And a lot of people make themselves old. If I run these 5Ks, I got these. What makes me so mad is that these 75-year-olds are they're standing there. They're drinking water when I get there. Well, see, they really run. No, I'm talking about some of them running the low 20s, like 21, 22. That's pretty good, isn't it, for a 75-year-old guy? Hallelujah. So you just start talking that stuff. I'm getting old, so got this right here and right there. And John Henson's going to be here with us in a couple weeks, the end of the month. Several of us went over there last Saturday night, and that was really fun, and it was a blessing. And he stood up strong and tall and was ministering the word, and man, he's got an acute mind. He just really, you can tell there's no memory lapses there. And he's going to be, this October, he'll be 90 years old. Praise the Lord. And he just, man, when he talks, you can tell. I mean, I'm thinking if you look at him, he looks like maybe he's in his 70s. You know, he's really, is that what you'd think, maybe? 70s, but he's just blessed of the Lord. And he doesn't talk like he's old, you know. 90 years young. Glory to God. So Rita Howell, she comes by my, some of you know Rita Howell. She's Cecil Howell's wife, and Cecil's a wonderful man that's in our community, a successful farmer, and lives a little ways from me. And so she comes by our house, and she exercises over to where her father lives, and many of you know Mr. Rainwater. And so I saw her a couple days ago, and I said, you know, Rita, how's your dad doing? She goes, oh, he's doing real good. He's doing real good. I said, how old is he now? And she said, he's 98 and a half. And she goes, yeah. And I said, he's doing good. She goes, oh, yeah, he cuts his yard. And then when he gets done cutting his yard or whatever, she goes, he comes over and cuts our yard. Yeah. So, see, 30 years ago, he was 70, basically. Think of that. So when you start thinking, I'm having memory problems or my back's, I'm close to 70 now. Wow, that's a young person to him. That was 30 years ago to him. So how old is old? We got to keep going for revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So stand up and give one of these teenagers next to you that's 60 years old or 70 years old a big, great big hug. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Kevin? Big Kevin. Another answered prayer. Hallelujah. What? When did you get news? You got some good news, right? All right. Now he's going to act suave, okay? Woo! Here he comes. He ain't going to preach. We ain't letting him. He can teach. But we prayed that you'd get a job. And because we want all of you to have jobs. Praise the Lord. First, we want you blessed, your house blessed, and if you have jobs, you should be giving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we prayed, and Kevin, for a job, and so tell us what's going on. This is the first time that you get a mic since you got to Immokalee, okay? Oh, no, don't act like Carl. Don't act like Carl.
How's everybody doing out there? Well, the first week I got here, a lot of y'all know, I didn't really have a job. It was me and Carl. I was staying with him. And, well, we stay together. I don't stay with him. We in this together. So I couldn't find a job. And in that process, I actually ended up losing my car and everything like that. But I'm not worried about this material. Past that, Pastor actually prayed for me throughout the week. And the day I lost my car, he let me use his truck. And Homer actually let me use his phone. And he was like, hey, I'll need that truck back by Friday. So I was like, okay, cool. So I got a call for an interview the next day. And I was like, okay, cool. Interview was on Friday. So I go in for the interview on Friday, and I got the job on Friday. So I get the job Friday. Pastor gets his truck back. Everything works out. So fast forwarding, this isn't a job I wanted to keep long term. It's more something just to have some kind of income coming in for the moment. So I'm at this job, and I actually put in an application to be a guest teacher for Collier County because I want to go into the education system right now. And I put it in and got an interview in like a day. And that usually doesn't happen. So I got the interview, and I had it today, actually. I went in for the interview. I was late to my other job, but it is what it is. So I go in for the interview, and the lady was like, I'm very happy for you. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to hire you. So I was like, oh, okay. You know, so I just got to do a fingerprinting process and things like that. But as of now, things are looking up, and I appreciate everybody's prayers, all of Pastor's anointing.
Praise God.
And I just appreciate it, and I'm glad I'm here.
You know? Praise God. You did good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you for what we're about to receive. Lord, most of all, you said that when Paul said, "My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." This is my prayer that first and foremost, their needs are met. That, Lord, their cupboards are full. That, Lord, all of everything that is a necessity of life is met for them. That they have the best jobs, and that, Lord, that you bring them into the right jobs, the jobs that provide and also do not take away from the call, the ministry which that you've given them. Lord, we don't want jobs that take so much of the time that there is no time to give to God. But at the same time, we pray for the ones that they can be diligent in, earn a good living, and have a provision, Lord, met the needs and the provision for their families. So we thank you for that first and foremost. Then, Father, we thank you that all the needs of this house are met in abundance. And we give you all the praise and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can stand with us one more time. And hallelujah. We're just going to bring this down without much greeting. So if you have something, maybe our Heaven Come Down song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you have something, bring it down. If not, just turn to the person real close to you and give them a hug. Lord, we thank you for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm glad for everybody that's here tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was just in there speaking with Vinny, and I noted she had a pill, and she was a little sedated, and so I did understand most of what she was talking about. But when I went up, I was just in, you know, a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, but I'd had my clergy badge on, so I wasn't there to make an appearance. I was just there to, you know, come see Vinny. And I had my clergy badge on, and I don't always use that, but it gets me in pretty quick, and I don't have to show ID. So I went to the nurse's station, and they had a stop sign on her door, and which means you need to do something. You know, you're going to have to wash or, you know, gown up or something. So I said, you know, what's this? And they said, it's not really anything. They diagnosed her with a cold or something, but they said, you just need to wear a mask in there. So I said, okay. So they must have seen the clergy badge at the time, and her room was right across from the nurse's station. So I went in, and after about 15 minutes, I'm you know, talking to her, and I get this, you know, knock. And I turned around, and this guy's kind of leaning in, and he's a male RN. And so this registered nurse is standing there, and he asked me, he goes, now this might not be verbatim, but the essence of it was this: sir, are you the hospital clergy? And I said, no. I said, I'm not. And I didn't know if he had a problem with me being in there for whatever reason. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, so you're not the chaplain of the hospital or whatever? I said, nope. I said, I'm just up here visiting someone. And I said, can I help, you know, or whatever? And or because he may have mentioned at that time, he goes, well, we got a patient. And I said, well, can I help? And he said, well, we've got a patient just down the hall that's about to pass, and we were looking for a minister to say a word of prayer with him or over him before he goes. And I said, well, you know, I'll help out, you know, I'll help out. So he goes, okay, thank you very much. And so he walked out, and he gathered over at the nurse's station, and so that's when I turned to Vinny and said, somebody needs prayer. And she goes, well, go, you know. So I said, okay. And so I left, went out, and when I went out, this particular RN standing there with three family members, there was three siblings. The lady was probably 65. Her other brother, she had two brothers with her, probably 60 and 45, and they looked like, you know, well-to-do people. From I gathered from their conversation, they had just flown in from someplace out of state, and they were kind of exasperated but relieved that they got there just in time for, before their father died. And so he entered, he said, here's a clergy if you'd like for him to help. And I said, I'm not dressed like a clergy, but, so I said, they said that, the lady said, well, that's okay. That's not a problem. We don't care about how you're dressed. And she goes, we're Catholic. And I said, okay. I said, she goes, she was trying to figure me out, like, if I'm a cultish guy or what, and I was like, and I'm trying to act, like I've got some good sense. So I said, she goes, are you a father? I said, no, ma'am. But I said, I'm a licensed ordained minister. I graduated, I said, Southeastern University. It was a college then, it's a university now. But anyway, she's I'm trying to give her some credentials. And so she says, well, can you go in? And I wasn't raised Catholic, but I think they said something like, can you give him his last rites? Can you pray over and give him his last rites? I said, sure, I'll go in there, I'll do it. I can do this. I can do it. So we walked just down the next, the next door. We walked, she goes, well, would you like for us to go in and introduce? And I said, well, yes. I said, what's going on with your father? I said, I guessed cancer. I said, it's cancer. And they said, yeah, he's lung cancer. So they're talking, and I'm hearing them talk about Hope, hospice coming. And so I don't know if they're going to let him pass right, at the hospital or take him somewhere. I wasn't sure about that. I didn't ask that question. So they went in and in front of me. So, of course, she goes in. Dad, and he's coherent, but he's having a rough time. He's kind of getting into that death rattle kind of deal, and he's really laboring, with his breathing, but he's looking and he's trying to say some of the kids' names, so Dad, this is so and so, this is a minister, and we'd like for him to pray for you. And so it was really neat what happened, because I began to talk to him to start with. I leaned over his bed, and they kind of circled the bed, and the RN was standing there also, and I said, sir, I said, I wish that we were meeting under different circumstances. And I said, I know that you don't know me, but I would like to pray a prayer for you. And I would like to begin to believe with you presently that God is going to prepare you for the journey that you're about to take. Of course, the man knew that he was getting close. And I said, if that's okay, we're going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask that God prepares you for that journey. And then I asked those the people standing, the kids, and them, the RN was standing there. I said, let's all pray for him. And I laid my hands on him, and they all leaned forward and began to touch him and touch the bed. And, of course, I prayed initially for God to prepare him and to come with his angels and prepare his spirit, prepare his soul, and begin to take away all fear. And, of course, being the good Catholic that I am, I concluded in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I made them feel comfortable. And then after that was the preface prayer, because I was going someplace. I said I'd like to pray one other prayer, and I said, this is where I began to talk to him. I said, sir, I don't know if you've done this before as a Catholic, but I said, I would like for you presently, I'd like to pray a prayer with you. And I'd like for you to receive Christ into your life, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not prayed that prayer, I said, I'm going to say it out loud. And I said, I'm going to ask the Lord to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins. And I said, as we pray that prayer, I said, if you'll just believe it inside of you, if you'll believe it in your heart. And I said, the Lord will come in there. And so he's there, and he's really wheezing. But I said, let's all pray this together. And so all of them prayed it with me. And we prayed the sinner's prayer and just asked the Lord to come into his life, forgive him of his sins, and be the Lord of his life. And so, man, I just knew that the Holy Spirit grabbed somebody. What are the odds? What are the chances? And we got done, and the daughter is, they're all crying, I'm feeling God's presence in the room, because I realize I don't know exactly. I mean, I don't know what I can't testify what that man did in his heart, but how many of you believe that if God had us go down, that he got it done, And what the story, I mean, what, you know, what kind of story are we going to learn? Some guy comes up in heaven someday and gives me a, you know, a bulldog and throws me on the ground and starts hugging me. And, you know, but it wasn't me. It was somebody else that prayed. Maybe it was his mother. Maybe it was his, somebody prayed, God, don't let daddy, you know, or don't let son go to hell. I'm believing you. So at the, you know, he may have died an hour later. He may have died 2 hours later. I don't know. But to get the opportunity to do that, we give God all the glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, Father. Hallelujah. And I conclude that prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If I knew how to do the crucifix correctly, I would have probably done that too. But hallelujah. Terry, you'll have to teach me sometime. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just going to share. I felt I led to share a little bit of the word tonight and then to just read something to you in the form of just giving you another part of doctrine and where we stand here at this church as far as doctrine is concerned. And what we're going to share here in a little bit and what's going to be a big part of maybe not a real long teaching time, but what will be a part of it is something I'm going to read here from somebody. And but we're going to share on women in ministry. Okay? So, ladies, man, and we want to let you know where we're at. We want to let you know where this pulpit's at as far as understanding and those kinds of things. So this is kind of going to be like ladies' night out, okay? We'll probably call this ladies' night out, okay? But we'll start in, let's start in verse 13, and we'll just read on down through verse 28, and then I'll read something here for you. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. But if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Wow. What if your foot says, I'm not the body? Because I'm not the hand. And if the ear, verse 16, shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were of the eye, were an eye, where the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Can you imagine, you know, verse 21 kind of depicts what I was about to say. Verse 20 says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know, what if your eye said to the hand, you know, I don't need you. I don't need you. Well, your mouth would probably speak up at that time and say, wait a minute, eye. I like when my hand reaches for that cheeseburger. And I have to have that hand to put it to my mouth. So I don't you be talking to the hand like that. Right? Verse 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And this verse of Scripture, verse 28, we have taught from several different times. You've heard Pastor Dave exhort, teach, whatever, many times from 1 Corinthians 12:28 about our individual calls. And you're in there. The whole body of Christ is in there. And in some ways, more than once. But verse 28 says this, and he begins to list the fivefold ministry calls. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. And we're not going to elaborate or teach. That's not our assignment tonight. In fact, mostly our assignment is to read from this writing, this essay that someone did. So our assignment is not to teach on what the individual ministries do, because we've done that before in the past and we'll do that again in the future. But one of the things that we understand first and foremost, he is kind of prioritizing from the very beginning, because being an apostle, the apostles, if you want to say it like this, his first and foremost calling, or their first and foremost calling, to stay in continuity with what we're going to say here tonight about women in ministry. His first and foremost calling is doctrine. It's foundation. And there are, God put apostles in the body of Christ. Now, an apostle really can work in all the other different ministry callings, all the other different fivefold, or the other four of the fivefold ministry callings. But the chief and foremost calling of the apostle is to oversee and to make sure that the foundation of good doctrine is being placed in the church. And of course, as a pastor, I know that's part of my role as well, because a pastor should have a ministry calling of teaching as well. A pastor should be a pastor and also a teacher as well. But the apostle is for soundness of doctrine, secondary, and that's why God put him at the first, because the body has to be founded, or has to be, the foundation has to be sound doctrine. Do we understand that? Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Now, the mentioning of miracles here would correspond with the evangelistic ministry. So he's listing all the fivefold ministry calls that Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So those particular calls are represented, all five of them here. And miracles, you could equivocate and say that is the ministry of the evangelist. Then he says the gifts of healings, which would be the ministry of the pastor. Helps, and as I said, we're not going to go into much elaboration or teaching, but helps, we found out a long time ago through some really wonderful teaching that Pastor Dave did, is that helps went far beyond just people helping out in the church. It had something to do, had a lot to do with the ministry of gospel entrepreneurship and the ministry of, amen, Mavis said, glory to God, hallelujah. And Mavis, we're holding that to, you know, holding you to that, praise the Lord. Not only your family, Not only your mom and dad, what you got to pay back, but what you're going to pay forward to the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the Ministry of Helps went into giving. It went into a place of someone making the money to steward it for the kingdom of God. And people say, wow, I want that because I want to make a lot of money. That's yeah. You know, you have to be, to have that calling. A lot of people think they have that calling. But you got to be as dead as the apostle to truly walk in that calling. It takes as much, really, it takes as much fasting and praying to walk in the ministry. Because here's the thing. Most that ever do get the money gets them. It really does. Because they can't hardly help it that they don't start consuming it on them, their own self. You know, the second home, the third home, the next this, the next that. I went fishing with somebody the other day, and they said, you know what, I've been wanting another boat, but every time I think about it, you got to get up there and preach one of them other sermons about giving to the kingdom and dying to the flesh. Because for 2 or 3 years, I've been wanting to make a phone call. Every time I do, well, bless God, we did it again tonight. Praise the Lord. But there is a tremendous call of Ministry of Helps. And it goes into a real, and it goes into dying to the flesh. See, God will give you millions. He'll give you billions as long as you'll just let it go flow. That's another teaching. You got to be real dead to work in that one. Real dead. Governments, that's the one we're going to need real strong. Man, I'm not governments. Thank God for Miss Candy around me. She helps organize a lot of stuff. And praise God. She's a good secretary and the best wife in the world. But she just, eventually we're going to have an incredible government here. If we're going to have the actual revival that we're believing God for, we're going to have hired people that are looking out after. Now, they're going to have their prayer life too, you know, but their prayer life really, they need to do all the stuff so I can keep praying, so I can keep fasting, so I can come out and give the vision. Well, we need to do this and we need to do that. But they're going to have to organize that stuff, and they're going to have keen minds, and they're going to have to know how to, you know, keep all these baby Christians supplied with everything that they need so that they can grow up. So there's a tremendous work in governments. Diversities of tongues. And you notice that it said diversities, meaning more than one. And Pastor Dave has taught us for years about the diversity of tongues, how that it starts out with a ministry of self-edification. And that it is also, there's the diversity of a sign, you know, to the unbeliever. And it goes right on to where that there is the diversity of deep groanings of intercession. I've had that many, many, many times in my life, to where that I did not know at the time, you know, what was going on. But one time I was sitting at a desk, and this is before I ever got on the walk that I'm on right now, and I was studying for a contractor's exam, and it was hard, and I was laboring, and man, I was trying to get that stuff through me. I mean, it was comparable to the bar exam, and I was sitting there, and Candy and the kids were gone because Candy left so I could study, and I think all we had was Amber at the time. So I'm sitting there studying, and all of a sudden, I felt a heaviness, like, oh my God, you know, like something. And I started praying in tongues. And it wasn't like, you know, my regular tongue is scoro bere Christe, lebe Christe. This was like, it was like a man. I was like, go. And I was like, man, what am I doing? I'm like, I was kind of freaking out, like, you know, what is going on? I mean, I I couldn't. I could stop, but if I'd have stopped, it would have been like trying to stop a freight train. And it lasted for like 15 or 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, man. You know, I felt like this is strange, but I knew it was God. So I couldn't stop it. And I was like, I don't know how long this is going to last, you know. And as soon as I got done, I mean, it was like, boom, right. It seemed like within just a couple of minutes. It may probably been longer than that. But it was like right away, the phone rang. And as soon as I answered the phone, my mom said, your sister's been in a real bad car accident. She's flipped the car, and she's blah, blah, blah. And she's right around the corner from where you're at. And I said, I know all about it. And I said, she's going to be fine. Because I went, this is the part, too, about intercession. Stay in intercession if you ever go into that. And we'll teach on that later. Stay in intercession however long it's necessary to get the witness, to get the relief. If you go in there and stay long enough, and I got... Most of the time, I'd say 100% of the time, I'll get a, you should try to go into, I didn't plan on teaching on this, but if you go into intercession, it's best to do it by yourself or find a private place, because you'll look peculiar, and you don't want to bring attention to yourself. And but I've learned I can do it privately and not, you know, bring attention to myself. But 100% of the time, I'll get a witness, and usually it's kind of like a giddy laugh. And I'll be laughing in the spirit. I mean, it's not a hilarious laughter. It has been a hilarious laughter before, but I'll start kind of chuckling. It'll be like something funny. You know, something's funny on the inside, but, you know, nobody told me a joke. It's just like, I know, it's like there's a witness. You know, and I'll start getting that witness, like I prayed it through. Well, that happened, and that's when my mom called and said she's been a wreck. And I said, I know, it's okay, though. And the same thing happened. It's happened many, 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 many times, countless times, when Candy almost lost Davy, and all the embryonic fluid was, you know, passing out of the embryonic sac. And so I went home and just fell on the floor, and Candy was someplace else, and I just went into intercession, and, you know, for about 45 minutes or however long that lasted, until the hilarious laughter. Well, when the hilarious laughter gets there, you can go eat a steak sandwich or something, man, because it's done, man. It's in the bank then. You're getting a witness from heaven. It's all right. It's going to be okay. So praise God. So through all of those, starting from the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. You've heard all that. When I say you, I'd say most of you have heard all that before, either by taught from myself or from, you know, Pastor Jim or Pastor Dave or whatever. I want to ask you a question. And this could go to the men too as well, but especially to the ladies. So there's eight operations there. At what part did it disqualify you, or did you kind of step off the bus or say, okay, that part, you know, I can't really, you know, that's for the men and this is for the ladies? And you don't have to answer that, but what part in your mind did those eight, reading those eight and elaborating just real briefly, at which one of those did those particular calls leave you? In other words, you said, I wouldn't qualify for that as a lady or as a woman or as a female. So that's something you could, you know, answer on the inside. But that's where we're headed in reading this particular paper. And we should get done by 9 o'clock, hopefully. Hallelujah. Now, this is by someone that we do know. So I think you'll have trust in this person. This is, and I could not improve on it. I'm really glad that it recently came to my attention. And some of you probably already read it before. It could have. But I do have a lot of trust in this person and their background. This is Women in Ministry by Jim Martin, PhD. So how many of you think we could probably listen? And you've read it? What? Oh, you're good. So as I said, I felt like some have probably already had, but the body needs to hear this. So we know what are we allowed to do, or what are we allowed to believe for as women at the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee. Jim starts out by saying this: because I have a PhD in Christian theology, pastor of church, and a president of a Bible college, numerous people have come to me and asked me about women preachers and pastors. They want to know what the Word has to say if women are spiritually permitted to fill the positions. Therefore, I have written this brief essay to clarify the issue, breaking down and explaining certain portions of scriptures that have been used to prevent women from ministering. Having been raised in a Southern Baptist church, I was taught many things about Jesus, the importance of reading my Bible, and the need to be born again. I was also taught about the role of women play in ministry. Essentially, it was okay for a woman to teach a Sunday school class, but beyond that, a woman could not preach from the pulpit, travel and evangelize, or be a pastor. Passages from 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy were used to establish this doctrine, and so, since I had been taught from the Bible, I felt there was no reason to reject what I had been taught or what I had heard. For many years, I heard that this teaching firmly believed it was true. But as time passed, I began to see women used by God in ways I had thought were unscriptural. Not only did I encounter women evangelists, but also women pastors and teachers teaching from the pulpit. As I listened and observed, there was no way I could deny the biblical accuracy of what they were preaching and teaching, neither could I deny the power of God being manifest through them as they ministered. Obviously, these things created quite a conflict within me. Based on my solid religious background and teaching, what I was witnessing and experience should not be taking place. But there it was. The opposite of everything that I had been taught about women in ministry was happening before my very eyes. The result of what these women preachers were doing made it seem as though God was giving his stamp of approval. In fact, some of the women preachers I saw were getting more and better results than most of the men preachers I knew. Was I confused? You bet. I knew the scriptures because I had been thoroughly taught, but it seemed as though God was contradicting his own word. Knowing that God most assuredly would not contradict himself, I was left with only one possible conclusion. The scriptures used to exclude women from preaching or pastoring had been incorrectly interpreted and taught. This was somewhat unsettling because it meant that I had spent years of my Christian life believing a wrong doctrine. However, this thought alone was not enough. I decided to lay aside what I had been taught in the past and go to the Word, examining it for myself and find out what roles women can fill in the body of Christ. I knew that women had been used by God in both the Old and New Testament accounts. But what I wanted to know was, what are they allowed to do today? As I dug into the Word and rightly divided verses and passages, I finally discovered what God was telling the church regarding women in ministry. I began with some of those things that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35. Now you can either write this down or you can turn to it as I speak. Let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Have you ever heard that preached with the connotations with it? Just plain out blatantly. If they will learn anything, let them also ask their husbands at home. Let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Woman, Greek, gunaikis, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, gunaikis, can be translated as woman unless there is a companion word. Companion word has to be, unless it has to be translated as woman unless there's a companion word that clarifies the meaning. The companion word in this passage is husband, Greek word andres. Husbands do not have authority over any woman but their own wives. Therefore, the use of the word andres absolutely mandates that the proper and correct translation of gunekis should have been wives. Now, here is where it gets interesting. The word speak is the Greek word leilo. It is translated as speak in numerous places in the New Testament, including Acts 2:4, speak with other tongues. According to one highly prominent Greek scholar, who, by the way, does not believe in the gifts of the Spirit existing today, leilo in 1 Corinthians 14:34 would have been more accurately translated uttering sounds that are incoherent and not understood by others. The reason for this is because verse 27 through 28, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. The word leilo, speak, is used in 1 Corinthians 14:27 as a specific reference to speaking in tongues. To make a long explanation short, because of what Paul had already taught about speaking and praying in tongues in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 34 could be paraphrased like this. I have already given you instructions about tongues for both personal use and corporate use. But I want you to know that these instructions are not just for the men. Wives, you, like your husbands, should not ramble away in tongues just because you can. God wants things done in order, verse 33, and the same rules of order he has given to the men apply to you as well. Husbands, you are to instruct your wives in this, and wives, you are to submit to this instruction. 1 Corinthians 14:35 says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. In other words, as long with his, the things in verse 34, if your wives will learn anything, the word learn comes from manatheo. In this passage, it carries the connotation of not just learning, but coming to a full understanding of something. Thus, 1 Corinthians 15:35 could have been correctly translated, and husbands, along with this, if your wives have questions about what they are hearing in the church, let them ask their questions at home, for it is a shame for them to disrupt others during a service to ask you for an explanation. And now, on 1 Timothy 2:11, 12, and 13. We'll just read that. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. The Greek word gune was translated as woman. Normally, this would have been correct interpretation, except for the companion word rule noted above. In this passage, the companion word aner, which in verse 12 has been translated as man. However, this is not at all a good translation, because of the grammatical context of the passage dictates that it should have been translated as husband. So the word gune should have been translated as wife and not woman. The word silence is the word, this is a hesuki. It can in no way mean complete silence. What it means is quietness or tranquility. The culture of the day dictated that boys/men and not girls/women went to school. But in the church, this was not so, and everybody was expected to learn. One way to understand verse 11 is this. Wives, just because you have been delivered from the ungodly male domination and are free to learn, don't go overboard in this freedom and think you are no longer to be in godly subjection. Subjection hupotage, to paches, to place in a proper order is the Greek definition, to your husbands. In verse 12, the word teach is the word diastening, something to that, meaning to teach continuously. In light of the meaning of verse 11, verse 12 could be paraphrased like this: but as a wife is learning and growing spiritually, it is wrong for her to try to undermine her husband's position as the spiritual head of the home by exalting herself to a place of continual teaching, instructing, and correcting him in spiritual matters. Further proof, everybody still here with me? I haven't looked up in a while. I didn't know how many of you went home. Further proof that verse 11 and 12 are not referring to men and women in general in the church is found in verse 13. For Adam was formed, or first formed, then Eve. Based on the rules of grammar in verses 11 and 12, we're referring to men and women in general. If it was referring to men and women in general, then verse 13 would have said, for the man was first formed, then the woman. The reason this is so important is because of the use of their proper names, indicating a specific and deliberate reference to the husband and wife. The only way, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35, and 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 12, can be used to keep women out of the ministry if we completely ignore the contextual use of the Greek language. In other words, if we remain true to the original language in which the New Testament was written, as it was divinely inspired by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, it is absolutely, positively impossible to use the above two passages from 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians to keep women out of the pulpit or any other preaching, teaching position in ministry. But there is more. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. Now you could turn there or you can mark it down. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13, and then 27 through 28, which we just read. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews and Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, the first apostle, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Then last of all, Ephesians 4, 8 through 12. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To be brief and yet retain the integrity of the explanations, the above three passages do not need much, if any, Greeking of words used. In them, we see that from God's perspective, there is no male and female in the body of Christ. This does not ignore the reality of such differentiations as far as our existence on earth is concerned. Now, that's true. That's true. If you ever hear anybody say, well, there's no male or female. That's right. As far as what a woman can do, she can raise the dead. I believe she can stand in the pulpit and carry out ministry calls of what we're here, but we all know this if you've got good sense. There's a chemistry between a man and a woman that does not exist between a man and a man. I mean, if everything's normal. I mean, me and Julio can go off together and we can go hunting or fishing or whatever, but that don't work. I mean, in other words, and this is good too, teaching right here for you guys. It's good. You don't have to be married, but it's good to have a wife as a pastor or a cult, because one of the things that's good for, if you do ministry counseling, you have your wife there. Of course, if I was a single pastor, I would have another woman in there with me as I'm talking to a lady. I never, ever, ever, you do not ever counsel with a woman, not because they would do anything or you would do anything, but the appearance. The appearance. If I had another secretary other than Candy, you don't take your secretary just by yourself to lunch. What? You know you don't. You don't. Because the chemistry is different. It'll always be different. There may be no male or female in Christ in spiritual things, but there is definitely a chemistry that'll always be different until we get our glorified bodies, and that's the only time it'll ever be different. So don't freak out and get, you know, stupid or whatever. No, it's different. Counseling's different. Everything's different. You know? All right. Enough said, I guess. I'll never let a man may talk to me. There's things that, you know, men have talked to me about that I've never shared with Candy, but I'll never, ever, 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 ever let a lady tell me something that I can't share with Candy. If she says, I need you to keep this just between me and you, Pastor, I'm sorry. You should have asked me to start with, because my woman going to know everything you said, because we ain't going to have nothing between us. It's our little secret. I'm going to know. She going to know. If I know, she going to know. Wow. Praise God. We're talking about women in ministry. How do we, you know? This does not ignore the reality of such differentiation. That's how Jim got us off on that. Such differentiations as far as our existence on earth is concerned. It simply means that God recognizes no distinction in gender when it comes to our spiritual makeup. It also means that God is not a respecter of persons in regards to gender. While it is true in Ephesians 5, 21 through 31, is very explicit about the roles of the husband and the wife within the home, we must be cautious when trying to extend the definitions and the functions of these roles into various ministry callings. Nevertheless, and remember we're trying to be brief based on Ephesians 5, 21 through 23, and previous social and prevailing social practices within a culture, a case could be made that it might be better if a man fills the role of a pastor in the church. Additionally, certain responsibilities related to pastoring could prove to be more challenging for a woman than a man. However, there's absolutely nothing anywhere in Scripture that clearly states that a woman cannot be a pastor. In fact, by virtue of the grammatical structure of the above passages from Galatians, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians, there is no way to tell if God would call a man or a woman into the various ministry callings. Considering this another way and keeping the above passages in mind, how in the world can we say that a woman cannot be a pastor, but it's okay for her to be in the ministry such as helps and governments? That's why I said, maybe you never thought of it before like that, but women and men sometimes will categorize when they read 1 Corinthians 12, 28. If we are all one body in Christ, and then it is entirely possible for God to call a woman into any ministry calling. Yet, we must emphasize the word possible, because we are not God and cannot call anyone into anything. One last verse to consider is 1 Corinthians 14, 31. For ye all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and may be comforted. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 40 is specifically addressing a congregational setting. In verse 31, Paul declares that ye may all prophesy, teach, deliver the mind, the will of God. In these verses address both men and women. He is saying that either a man or a woman may prophesy or teach the people when they are gathered together for service. As you can see, if we leave Scripture in context, none of the verses or passages listed in this paper can accurately be used to teach that a woman should not or cannot have a pulpit ministry. To do so would violate the message and integrity of God's Word. I sincerely hope this brief teaching has brought some clarity and understanding regarding women operating in evangelistic, pastors, teachings, or any other ministry calling. I encourage you to not simply accept what is here or what is written here, but to study the Scriptures for yourself and pray, asking the Holy Spirit to teach you all things and guide you into all truth. He, and not man, must be the final authority for all that the church accepts, believes, and teaches. Respectfully submitted, Jim Martin. Praise God. Praise God. But we need to hear that, right? Many of you, maybe a few of you, may have read that personally, but it needs to go on record, or you need to know, what's Pastor Bronx, how does he feel about women? Well, Praise God. Women, you should love me to pieces if you go here. Hallelujah. You know what? I really didn't have that's always been my perspective, because, I ordained Loretta Cole up in Ocala. But ladies' night out, isn't that good? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So, ladies, if your call is to just keep praying in tongues, keep praying in tongues. Your call to make a lot of money and give it to the church, praise God. If you got a pulpit call, praise the Lord. We'll see that too. Amen. You won't have to promote yourself. God will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stand with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We did pretty good. 908. How many of you love Jesus? How many of you love your pastor? Hallelujah. Homer was not here tonight because he went to see his new grandbaby girl. Hallelujah. Mia. And so we had one last night. We congratulate Homer and Rosie. And then Julio and Kathy became the proud grandparents on what night? When was it? Saturday night? Or Sunday. All right. And little boy. Maddox. Praise God. All right. So our church is growing. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you. We give you all the glory. We thank you for all your goodness, mercy, blessings. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that we're just continuing on in doctrine and teaching of the Word of God, so that we know where we stand in the days ahead. We bless you. We give you all the praise. Bless your people tomorrow, through the weekend, coming Friday, Lord, and everything, good thing that you're going to do. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Praise God.